Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry, Caroline Fenton, in for Chase McCabe today. Normally, TSU head coach, Titans great, Eddie George joins us on Fridays at 1 o'clock. We'll catch up with Eddie later on in the show, later on next week. But I want to get to this. The Titans fall to the Cowboys 27-13, the Titans' sixth loss in a row. But I've said it all day. I said it yesterday, and I'll reiterate it again. I don't step away from the sixth loss in a row. I don't step away from this loss against the Cowboys with my head held low for a couple of reasons. One, this game was so much closer than the Titans had any business of making it. Jeffrey Simmons out, Bud Dupree out, of course, Harold Landry out. Derrick Henry sat this game. Like I mentioned, Jeffrey Simmons sat this game. I mean, you had maybe a handful of starters playing in that game last night. The offensive line was pretty much a whole bunch of backups. Your starting quarterback out, Josh Dobbs, comes in after being with the team for all of 5 minutes, comes in to start. I thought it was going to be an absolute blowout of epic proportions. But I step away from this game, one, because it was close, and two, because I have hope moving forward. Because after that loss to the Texans, I put my head in my hands and I thought, oh boy, this team is going to have a really tough time winning in Week 18 and winning the division as long as Malik Willis is under center. Josh Dobbs comes in last night and proved to me he's the guy, Week 18. He wasn't perfect, turned the ball over a couple of times. Missed some throws. Some of those throws were on the receiver. Some of those throws were on him. Held on to the football a little bit too long. Took some sacks when he probably shouldn't have taken those sacks. But overall, Josh Dobbs was able to do what Malik Willis couldn't. One, in the passing game, he was able to throw the football downfield, something that Malik Willis has struggled with all season long. Two, he was able to read the defense and was able to do it in a very calm, cool, collected way. He was able to sit back in the pocket, go through one progression, go through two progressions, go through three progressions, and make moves on the fly. Whereas when Malik Willis didn't get his first read, maybe not even a second read, it was almost like a sense of panic. He would throw the ball away, get an intentional grounding call on third down, would run it with his legs, and running was what was told to us to be his greatest strength. And while I see it, I didn't really see it executed to the level that we all were promised with Malik Willis. So overall, for in his decisiveness and his throwing ability and his ability to read defenses, Josh Dobbs gave the Titans so much better of a chance to win last night, and I think better of a chance to win against the Jacksonville Jags in Week 18.
I think he checked a lot of the boxes that were not checked when Malik Willis was in the game. Was he able to move the ball down the field effectively? Check. Did he seem like he had a good command on the offense? Check. Did he display leadership that you needed that position? Check. Now, we can go through a lot of other checks as well. But I think those three right there, were huge for Joshua Dobbs. Listen, this is a guy that not to my knowledge, he's never started a football game in his six-year career. He's played in some games, but he hasn't started a game. And for him to come in here with only a week of preparation and go in and play the way that he played, have command of the huddle, be that leader, move that offense down the field, the way that he did speaks volumes of him as a player and his ability to be able to absorb a playbook and then go out and implement what he's learned on the field. And even to a point where he's checking out of some things and he's improvising a little bit. And he another box he checked is he made the tough throws. He made the tough throws in traffic. He made the tough throws when people were on his back. That's one thing that I did like about Joshua last night is that he had people in his face, and he still delivered the ball. Now, it didn't get, you know, it wasn't a completion every time, but he knew exactly where he was going with the ball. He knew who he wanted to throw it to. And even when Lawrence or Parsons was in his face, he still delivered the football. That's what you want to see from your quarterback. He got up after being hit and ran the next play, and a lot of times he ran it with some success. So he's checked all the boxes for me. Now what he needs to do, because now people have true film on him. Mm-hmm. Now what he needs to do is this week, he has a full week now. Now he can kind of absorb more of the playbook, get more comfortable. Because even said it, we were throwing routes out there that we didn't even throw in practice because of short week and everything else. Right. Well, now he's going to get an opportunity to throw those passes in practice. Just get more comfortable and familiar with who you're throwing it to. And I think it should be better. I'm not saying they're going to win, but his grasp of the offense will be a lot better than it was this week.
He sure makes you feel a whole heck of a lot better mm-hmm. about winning. And while I was impressed enough about what Josh Dobbs did on the field last night, and again, it wasn't perfect. There were some missed throws. There was a bad interception and taking sacks when you weren't supposed to. But overall, I mean, I think that Josh Dobbs' performance and also the rest of the team's reaction to mm-hmm. it just felt like this whole team was energized. It was also what we heard from Josh Dobbs after the game, too. I think we all know that Josh Dobbs is a smart guy. I mean, he's a freaking rocket scientist, mm-hmm. which is something
literally
a rocket scientist. Something that they talked a whole heck of a lot about on the game broadcast last night, about him being a rocket scientist and having a 4.0 GPA. Mm-hmm. We know he's a smart guy.
Exactly.
But I think he also displayed his intelligence and his leadership in the post-game press conference last night as well. This was Josh Dobbs on his relationship with Malik Willis.
I know you had a relationship with Malik before you got here. What was he like through this process? Helping you or supporting you or however that went?
Definitely. He's been great. You know, just helping, especially a new quarterback, a guy that's been in there, being able to just talk about procedural things such as cadence, snap count, communication, code words to the guys, especially when we're going no huddle and up tempo. So he's been a great resource. So has Kevin Hogan in the room as well. We have a really good room. The guys really gel well, and it's been good to rely on those guys as well as Pat and Todd to help with my preparation.
Go ahead.
You know what that tells me? It tells me that Malik knows what to do, knows the plays, knows everything, but it hasn't gotten to a point where what he knows is also displayed on the field. I think he knows it, but on the field it's just going so fast that he's still 2 seconds behind or 3 seconds behind. He knows what's going on. He knows what he needs to do. He knows the offense, the plays, but everything, the defense is so fast for him at this point, he's 2 seconds behind. So when he gets ready to actually make up his mind to throw it, it's too late now. Well, Joshua Dobbs is more in line with what you want to see from a quarterback. He sees it. He processes it very quickly and execute it right then and there. Mm-hmm. Malik is not at that point. Malik is like 2 or 3 seconds behind.
And I think even beyond that, like that clip showed me that Josh Dobbs has this mentality of decorum. Uh-huh. He seems like such a Vrabel guy. Mm-hmm. He gave credit to everybody else in the room. Mm-hmm. Josh Dobbs has been in the league for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Malik Willis has been in the league for 6 months. And he's talking about Malik Willis like, yeah, he's really helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, he helped me along. He carried me along. And everybody else in the room, Kevin Hogan, Pat O'Hara, giving credit mm-hmm. to everybody else. He was the one out there that was executing on the field, but he gave credit to everybody else. That, to me, sounded like such a Vrabel answer of credit to everybody, thanks to everybody. He's not going to offend anybody. Mm-hmm. He's going to give, you know, thanks and gratitude to everybody else. And he was also asked about his first start as well. This was Josh Dobbs last night.
And finally getting the opportunity to start, did you have like those early anxious moments? And if so, what was it that you did to allow yourself to settle in? Because it seemed like that's what happened.
Yeah, you know, I think for sure. When you haven't played a live snap of football since August, you know, and then now it's December. That's a long time, especially when you're in a new team, new receivers, new timing, new offense. So, I mean, they're there. You know, I'm human. they're going to be there. And, you know, in those moments, I just try to take a deep breath, stay present, stay in the moment, lock in on the game plan. And just the same thing I told the guys was just take it one play at a time. If you do that, you focus on that play, make it the best play possible, move on to the next one, then you won't get overwhelmed by the moment. So there's a lot of guys out there, not just me, making their first starts or first time back on the field in a long time. And just watching how the guys responded to adversity, responded with success, it was great to see. And it definitely was a building opportunity for us.
Did him and Ryan Tannehill get the same, like, the same script?
The same media training?
Yeah, the same media, because they both sound exactly alike. I mean, both of them, how they describe, you know, the team or the process, they sound alike. Why? Because they're veteran quarterbacks. They understand it. They've been through it. They know everything is not going to be roses out there. There's going to be situations where we have to persevere through. Things may not work the way we want them to work, but that doesn't mean we're not going to win the game. Let's just get up, move on, go to the next play. He and Ryan Tannehill, because of them being veterans and they understand it, they both sound the same. It's like they both had the same script, which is a good thing for the Titans, because you got somebody in there that you feel comfortable with, that you can that Down can give the playbook to and say, okay, here, this is the playbook, learn it, and we're going to run whatever you feel comfortable with running. And we may even run some things that we may not have ran, you know, consistently in practice, but we feel confident enough in you that you can do it.
Can you even consider Josh Dobbs a veteran quarterback?
He's a veteran. He's been in this league 6 years. I know he hadn't played a lot, but, you know, being in that Pittsburgh Steelers organization, and they're one of the, if not the best organization in the National Football League when you're talking about just the history of the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
And being there with Mike Tomlin and some of the other coaches, I'm pretty sure playing alongside Ben Roethlisberger taught him a lot, how to prepare, what to look for. Ben is going to be a Hall of Fame guy. So there's something you would have learned that has helped you moving forward from Ben Roethlisberger. So, you know, I just think it's been organizations that he's been.
And that too. I mean, he's completed 10 passes before he did last
He hadn't
night.
Had much experience.
But he sounds like a quarterback. He sounds like the starting quarterback who has started for two different franchises and has been in the league for, what, almost 15 years? Mm-hmm. I think that Josh Dobbs brings a certain sense of, yes, experience, but also leadership. Mm-hmm. He mentioned in that clip, he's like, that's what I was telling the guys. Just take it one play at a time. Mm-hmm. That's coming from a quarterback that's completed 10 passes in the last 6 years.
But he didn't look like it.
But he didn't look like it, and he was able to bring a sense of leadership to everybody else offensively. Hey, guys, one play at a time. Mm-hmm. He has such limited experience in the league, but he brings that kind of sense of everybody else offensively is like, hey, we got to rally around Josh. He says take it one play at a time. Calm down. Everybody sit back. Take it slow. Mm-hmm. And they followed suit. And that's the kind of veteran presence and leadership presence. And, you know, you take all of his physical abilities aside and his physical abilities that he brings to the game that Malik Willis just can't. I think he brings that intangible element of leadership and that everyone falls behind him and feels confident behind him that Malik Willis just hasn't been able to bring to this team quite yet.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to. And you know, time will tell whether he will be able to do it or not. You know, but at this point right now, he can't. Joshua can. So Joshua's the quarterback.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's your day. We're right back into your phones coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace is presented by Hair Club. And I love Hair Club. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women.
Building opportunity, obviously a nice thing, but still a sixth loss in a row. Like, is there a feeling in the room that something's turning tide-wise and that in 10 days you can change the result?
Well, we control our own destiny, and every single person in the locker room understands that. We go out, play a good game. We play how we know how to play football. We don't hurt ourselves. We go out, play good, clean football in Jacksonville next Sunday, whenever the game is, and we come out with a win, then we're in the playoffs, and we're rolling from there. So we control our own destiny. Guys understand that. Obviously, every time you step on the field, you expect to win and you want to win. So it's tough when that you don't get the job done. So now we'll go through our process. We'll review the film, review the tape. We have a longer week for preparation for the Jacksonville game. And we control our own destiny. We go out there, we play the football we know we can, then we're in the playoffs and AFC South champs.
There you go, Josh Dobbs. We control our own destiny. Sounding like he's been a starting quarterback for 15 years in this league. I mean, he's just up at the podium sounding like a true vet. I love what I heard from Josh Dobbs after the game. I think he said all the right things. He did exactly what the Titans want him to do, what any coaching staff would want you to do. Don't make yourself the story. Don't say anything offensive. Mm-hmm. Be boring, to your point, D-Mace. But right to your phones, as promised, Bob is up next on Josh Dobbs. What's up, Bob?
Hey, y'all. D-Mace, I got a question for you since, you know, you played for a couple of different teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a big bond between players, even when you don't play for that team anymore. Do you think there's any chance Roethlisberger texted or called Dobbs last night to tell him good job?
I don't know, but I'm sure if they were, you know, if they are close friends and if they communicate, I'm pretty sure he did. Knowing that this is Joshua's first NFL start, I mean, why wouldn't you? If you know, if I had been in a league with younger guys and they got their first starts and we were great friends inside of the – if it was one of my receivers inside the receiver room and he got his first yard, started another team, yeah, I'm texting him, hey, good luck tonight, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if Roethlisberger did that. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, no. But he was under him for a couple of years.
Exactly. Yeah. So
CC texts into the text line, phone answer by Wilson Cutting, Hyundai.com, says, I believe you guys either had unrealistic expectations regarding Malik Willis or are being unfair. All things being equal, which I realize they aren't in this case, if Dobbs and Willis were both in their rookie year in the NFL, I would still expect for Dobbs to have an advantage because he comes from an SEC school where he played against NFL caliber talent most weekends. How many defenses do you think Willis faced at Liberty with the same talent? Honestly, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like CeCe, the texter says you're being unfair. Well, life's not fair. The NFL isn't fair. I don't care if you went to Alabama, and I don't care if you went to Buttcrack State University.
Yeah,
if
you're that's draft, a good state university.
Yeah, it's a really good team. Yeah, they're playing, playing Bowling Green in the Beefo Brady Bowl tonight. But, I mean, it's if you're drafted to a team or if you're brought into a team to do your job, you're expected to do your job. I don't care where you went to college. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it's unfair that Josh Dobbs went to Tennessee and Malik Willis went to Liberty. I really don't care. If you give this team the best opportunity to win, then you should play. If you have more experience reading defenses and you're better at reading defenses, then you should play that role.
Mm-hmm.
If you're better, you get the starting gig. I don't really care if I'm being unfair. Life's not fair. The NFL's not fair.
Yeah. Well, things are not fair in any aspect of life or job or, you know, even sometimes family. Things are not fair. Malik did start off at Auburn, if I'm not mistaken.
He did.
He chose to, so he can play, he chose to leave Liberty, and that was what was best for him.
Uh-huh.
And it, you know, he played well enough to be drafted in the third round by the Tennessee Titans. Now, I don't think at least you, myself, Willie, Jared, I don't think we had any unrealistic expectations of Malik Willis. I mean, I think we, you know, our expectations varied, but they were not like, oh, he needs to be the starting quarterback or, oh, he's definitely the backup.
No.
Our thing was, and listen, it's going to take him a while to learn this game. You know, that's just the way it is. And it may take him even longer considering where he came from, Liberty, and how they ran their offenses. Nothing like an NFL offense. So I don't think we had these lofty expectations, and I don't think we're being unfair to him now.
No.
I don't think we've, at least I'm going to say me. I've never been unfair to any player that I've covered on this radio show, because either I'm only saying what I see from a player. If he changes it, then I will change how I view the player.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. Right now, Malik Willis is not ready. If he shows me something different, then my opinion of him will change. You know, but at this juncture of his early career, very infant career, he's not ready to be on a football field at all, conducting or running an offense. He's just not ready.
And honestly, that was my expectation for Malik Willis. In training camp, I was begging John Robinson and Mike Vrabel to go out and find another backup quarterback. Because looking at what Malik did in training camp and going into training camp knowing Malik's background, I thought he's going to be a project. He is going to take some time. He's going to take some refining, which is fine. You drafted him in the third round. If you find your future quarterback in the third round, great. Good job, John Robinson. And if you don't, if he doesn't end up being a quarterback in this league, either starting or backup, fine. It was a third round that you took a flyer on and you took an experiment. My expectation for Malik Willis was that he was not going to be very good and he was not going to be ready to play. That was my expectation.
Exactly.
Let's go back to your phones. Weston is up next. What's up, Weston?
Yeah, thanks, Caroline, and thanks, Derek. Derek, this question is kind of for you real quick. If Josh Dobbs had a healthy Tennessee Titans team and had a healthy offense with an O-line that is capable of protecting him like Dallas did for Dak Prescott, could you see him potentially being the starter of this team, especially seeing how well he played with basically third and fourth string guys?
Thank you, Weston. Appreciate it. If this team's healthy, he is the starting quarterback moving forward for this season, but I still believe that this is Ryan's team because this what he has done over the 5 years, 6 years he's been here, he's been damn good for this team. Now, listen, he's made some mistakes. I get that. And he cost them the Cincinnati game. I understand that. But his record as a starting quarterback with the Tennessee Titans is damn good. Joshua Dobbs, even if everybody's healthy, I think he's the quarterback for the remainder of the season and potentially into the playoffs. But I don't think that Ryan Tannehill has done anything to lose his job. You know, he's played under the same circumstances. Now, if he was playing in front of a healthy offensive line with Derrick Henry back as healthy, we've seen what he can do. You know, I think they may need to go another direction with the offensive coordinator, but that's just me.
You and just about everybody else in this city, D-Mace.
Yeah, because it's just so.
It's bad.
It's I'm not even talking about the bad. It's just so inconsistent. You know, with things that are called and things that are not, how the offense plays, how things flows, you know, what they do in the second half compared to the first half. It's just so inconsistent. You need a play caller that is consistent. And I get it. You need your players to be on the field too. I'm healthy. But I've seen what he can do with a healthy team, and it still isn't good enough, I don't think.
And I think, too, a lot of people have been frustrated. A lot of people who want to see more from Malik. And if you do, I don't blame you. I mean, that's totally your right, and it's totally your opinion. But a lot of people are frustrated that Todd Downing called plays that they wouldn't have, that he wouldn't have called for Malik Willis. Some of the rollouts, some of the pass plays. So do you think that Todd Downing almost did Malik Willis a disservice with the play calling that he didn't with Josh Dobbs? I don't necessarily believe that.
They may have. But then again, it all goes back to how much can we realistically put on the plate of a rookie?
And of a rookie that has a lot of refining.
Exactly.
To do, that has
exactly. Bruised. It's not like he come from this, you know, university where they produce quarterbacks or their offense
is, Bryce yet.
You know, he's come from a situation where, you know, it was made easy for him for whatever reason. Things were a little bit easier for him in a Liberty offense. Now, it's going to be harder in the NFL. I know that. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't Hugh Freeze's responsibility to get, you know, Malik Willis prepared and ready for the NFL. His responsibility was to win games at Liberty.
And also, how many Hugh Freeze-developed quarterbacks have you seen just making splashes in the NFL?
I can't name any. There might be, but I can't think of any offhand.
No. No. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It's your day, so we'll get back into your phones, your calls, and your texts. Plus, I want to talk about this. The Titans have yet to make up, or at least publicly, have yet to say that they've made up their mind for next week. Have they made up their mind about next season? We'll get into that coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
With the production and the decisiveness we saw last night, what makes the decision tough?
I just want to make sure that we're, every decision that we make, we want to try to put some thought into and make sure that it's thought out. And, we'll see what goes after this weekend.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel saying it's a tough decision about who is going to be the starting quarterback against the Jags in Week 18. And I think that that is such a ridiculous thing for Mike Vrabel to say. It's a tough decision. I understand the idea of, wanting to throw the Jags off their game and giving them an opportunity or having to prepare for both quarterbacks. But really, does either quarterback make the Jags shake in their boots? I think you just have to come out and say, Josh Dobbs is your starting quarterback. Squash any controversy, squash any discussion, squash any conversations that could be swirling around that building that distract this team from Week 18 and the most important game on this team's schedule.
Yeah, I just think it's all a, cat and mouse game, chess game, however you want to play it or whatever you want to call it. I think that's what Vrabel is doing, because it's like, listen, I don't have to. I have to announce my starting quarterback that Friday before game, something like that, or Saturday before game, or even up to game time. Why do I feel the need to tell everybody who my starting quarterback is? If you've been watching, you know who to start. Everybody in the building know who the starting quarterback is.
So why not just come out and say it?
He's just not going to say it. He wasn't going to say it last night after the victory, and he wasn't going to say it this morning. He's going to give himself through the weekend, and if anything, I think he will come out Monday or Tuesday and tell you who his starting quarterback is. I think he truly wants to see a little bit more from Joshua Dobbs, from the standpoint of having a full week of him just learning more of the playbook, him feeling more comfortable with some things.
But even having a couple of days, Dobbs was the better quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. And, again, you think he should be starting quarterback? I think he should be the starting quarterback. How many people are there in Nashville? Close to a million.
Enough.
They believe he should be the starting quarterback. Hell, those guys in that locker room, those 53 men, including Malik Willis, if he's being honest with himself, which I'm sure he is, thinks that what I saw last night should make him the starting quarterback moving forward. Past this game, if we win it, he should be the starting quarterback. But Vrabel's not going to give that, he's not going to give it away, even though it's like, it's common sense. Like, everybody knows. It's like this unkept secret. But he's going to keep it in his pocket until he feels it's the right time to tell everybody.
I just think – I don't understand what good that does for the team.
Yeah.
I don't understand, because when Mike Vrabel comes out and says, mm-hmm. we want to eliminate distractions, we're going to focus on the game, so on and so forth, I think that – just coming out and saying, hey, Josh Dobbs is going to be our starting quarterback, how does that hurt the team?
It's not a distraction to them, because what Vrabel's going to do, or what he's probably already done and will do, is go in that meeting room and say, Joshua Dobbs is our starting quarterback. He's going to tell the guys, but he's also going to say, that's between this team. Nobody else. This is between us.
Why does it have to be a Fort Knox locked up?
That's
secret?
Just the way. That's just the way NFL teams are.
What is it? How NFL teams are?
Yeah, a lot of NFL teams. I mean, they don't want it to get out. It won't get out. If they want it to get out, it will get out.
It's the same thing of Mike Vrabel not wanting to name that Shane Bowen was the defensive play caller.
Exactly.
Why do you feel the need to keep that a secret? I don't understand. It is so obvious.
I know.
That Josh Dobbs gives you the better chance to win.
Yeah.
So what is Mike Vrabel, what are these mind games that Mike Vrabel is trying to play with the Jags or with the media? Just come out and say it. Be forefront. Say, we're going to focus on Josh Dobbs for the rest of the week. We're going to develop him, and he's going to be our starter on Sunday because we believe that he gives us the best opportunity to win.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen great things from Malik, whatever he wants to say. We've seen great things from Malik. We're going to let him develop a little bit more, hold a clipboard, learn from Josh, learn from Ryan, and moving forward, we'll evaluate from there. But for right now, Josh Dobbs gives us the best opportunity to win.
Well, yes, he does.
And if he doesn't believe that, then I have no faith in this team.
And he in a roundabout way, not exactly in those words, I'm sure he has or will tell his ball club, this is our starting quarterback. It doesn't become a distraction anymore. You know, if you ask Kevin Byard after Vrabel just said, hey, listen, guys, Dobbs is the quarterback. This stays in this room for whatever purposes, say he may say, for the purposes of not letting Jacksonville know, then the guys are going to, they're going to be like, all right, we cool with it, coach. Then they're going to walk out that room Paul or Jared or Wyatt or Teresa is going to ask one of those guys, hey, who's going to be the starting quarterback? And they're going to say, hey, listen, we don't know. So it's up to Coach Vrabes who the starting quarterback is. And then they're going to go out on the field, and when everybody leaves.
And take first team reps with Josh Dobbs.
And yeah, exactly. And everybody knows.
It just feels so unnecessary of a secret to keep. Josh Dobbs
is the best unkept secret out there.
After being on this team for a total of 30 seconds, can go out there and play better than Malik has ever shown us he can play. You're going to say, it's a really tough decision. Who's going to be our quarterback? Save it. Save it, Mike. We'll get back. We'll get to one quick phone call. Adam is up next. What's up, Adam?
Well, as soon as he completed the one pass down the field, I'm like, okay, and Josh, we trust. Like, if you don't think Josh Dobbs is sitting here to save this team, you are not a good Tennessean. This is everything that I wanted last night happened. We didn't have to win that game for me to get exactly what I wanted, which was an adult playing quarterback. And Malik is not there yet. I like him. He's nice. If he wasn't nice, he would already be cut. Like, he's a nice guy. We get that. He's young. But Josh, man, he looked polished, like, as a pro. His timing was good. He made some ugly plays, too. But, like, he rolled out of the pocket nice. Like, he did everything nice outside the pocket. Malik just stands back in the pocket. He almost play action passes and takes hits. Josh knows not to do that. So I thought it was a beautiful game by him.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Adam. I'm not going to go as far as to say that Josh Dobbs is going to save this team. Josh Dobbs gives you a better opportunity to win. I'm not going to say that Malik Willis isn't an adult. Malik Willis is an adult. But he, like, to Adam's point, he just has some learning and growing to do.
He has a lot of it.
Josh Dobbs can do what Malik Willis can't. Mm-hmm. Now, will Malik Willis learn how to do those things? We'll see. But for right now, he can't.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls, your texts on this. But coming up next, we'll pick some games of the weekend. It is Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. And hey, be caller 3 now to get an opportunity to chance to win a pair of tickets to see Bush at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, February 20th. That is caller 3 now. Hey, check out Nashville's best deals and get half-off gift cards for Old School Pizza, Nashville B-Cycle, and more. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. We've got some college football playoff games this weekend. The Vols take the field against Clemson in the Orange Bowl tonight, plus a bunch of NFL games that have high stakes for the playoffs. So let's pick those games. Nick, what you got for us?
All right. You know what that music means? We got some big, big games coming up. First one is the Peach Bowl. So we got Ohio State and Georgia. And the Bulldogs are favored by 6.5 points. So who do you guys like for this game?
I just think Georgia's too strong. Georgia, to me, has proven they're the best team in the country. I thought that matchup versus UT started to show it to me. And then, you know, subsequently victories after that, what they did to LSU in the SEC championship game. This team is clicking on all levels. I mean, they are, and they got the big fella back in the middle, Carter. I mean, it's going to be hard to be a, he is, whoo, man. It's going to be hard to beat him. I'm going with the Dogs.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia -6.5, too. And I'll reiterate everything that D-May said, and I'll also add that Ohio State, and their one opportunity to play one of the top teams in the country at home, the biggest game on their schedule every single year against Michigan, and they get embarrassed on their home turf, and Michigan was without Blake Corum, their best player. Mm-hmm. I think Ohio State got exposed against Michigan. I think that Georgia will win the national championship yet again. I think Georgia's just that good. I'll take Georgia -6.5. I don't think it's going to be close.
Okay, and now we head over to TCU and Michigan. Michigan's favored by 7.5 points, and I already know where Derek might be going after silly underdog picks yesterday. But what do you guys think of this Fiesta Bowl matchup?
I might be, like, getting cute with it. I'm going to take TCU to cover the spread. I do think Michigan ultimately wins this game. They're going to end up with a Georgia-Michigan national championship. But if TCU has shown me anything, it's that they've got fight in them. And every single week when I counted TCU out, I thought, no way, they beat Texas. They go on the road, they beat Texas. A tough conference game for them against Kansas State, but I think that TCU is able to at least keep it closer than a touchdown.
There's no way, and you know what, H-E double hockey sticks, that I am ever, and I repeat, ever pick a Michigan team. I don't care if it's badminton, hockey, golf, tennis, checkers, whatever you play and make a sport at Michigan, I will never pick you, and I'm not picking you this time. I hope TCU puts up 100 points on Michigan. but seriously, like Carolyn said, everyone was waiting for that shoe to drop with TCU during the regular season, and it never did. They just continued to play week after week after week. Even when they were down, they managed to come back and win games. Again, they lost to Kansas State, a close game, a tough game. But I just don't think that TCU is ready to quit. I don't think they're ready to be eliminated from the college football playoffs. I think they're going to find a way to win the game again.
All right. This only means one thing. We have the Orange Bowl, and it is very orange if you guys missed the who's playing in this game. Clemson and Tennessee. Tennessee is a 6-point dog in this matchup. Who do you guys got?
D-Mace?
Wow, boy. No starting quarterback. Well, at least not the ball starting quarterback. Obviously, they have Milton in instead of Hooker. I don't know. This is a hard one for me to pick because I think both teams, Syracuse got better as the year. I mean, not Syracuse, but that's the other orange team. Yeah, but Clemson got better as the year went on. They switched their quarterbacks eventually. Looked good for them. UT started to sputter a little bit at the end, but we know why. Their quarterback got hurt toward the end there against South Carolina. But they dropped two games to me that they should have won. So with that being said, as much as I want to pick UT, and I've supported them the whole season, I just think that Clemson, at this point, because Hendon Hooker is not playing, I think Clemson wins this game. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Clemson wins.
I think that Tennessee gets the win here. I do. I mean, neither of these teams have their starting quarterbacks. DJ Uiagalelei is transferred, and of course, Hendon Hooker and going to the NFL draft, and obviously the injury as well. This isn't Joe Milton's first rodeo. You know, Joe Milton has been a starting quarterback for Tennessee before. He just lost the job. Nothing that Clemson has done this season has really impressed me. Tennessee this season has, I think, exceeded every single expectation that I could have set for this team, short of losing to South Carolina and missing the college football playoff. I think this Tennessee team is bringing back a whole heck of a lot of talent. And even without Hendon Hooker, I think they're going to be able to at least keep it close against Clemson. But I do think that Tennessee ultimately gets the win. So I'll take Tennessee to cover the 5.5.
But you just can't trust Milton. He might throw it to Clemson two or three times. His accuracy is just not there. That's why.
He might throw strong it to, arm to Nashville. From
exactly.
That ball could soar for miles. But the Tennessee defense doesn't really necessarily thrill me. But I do think that, you know, after losing to South Carolina and then coming back and Tennessee being able to have a statement win over Vanderbilt, I think this Tennessee team wants to go out on a high note, especially considering, you know, how impressive their season truly was. But before we wrap up, before I hand the baton to Jared Stillman, I've been filling in for Chase the past few weeks on a day-to-day basis. And if you missed the announcement yesterday, it will be an official move. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will debut on Monday.
Absolutely.
To start off the new year.
CWD.
It's still a CWD.
Exactly.
Just a different C. So I've had such a blast filling in with you and with Willie and with Nick. I am so incredibly excited to make the move to middays. So you can find us on 11 o'clock on Monday to start the new year. I'm pumped, D-Mace.
Well, I'm glad to have you in that seat. I'm driving the bus, and it's going to be great. It was great. It's going to continue to be great. And like I said yesterday, and I've told you this personally, I love your energy.
Oh, thanks, D-Mace.
I love what you bring to the show, and we're just going to continue and build on it. And quickly before we go, too, I want to say congratulations to Michelle as well.
Yes.
And what she's going to be doing with Chase in their show. And then I want to give a shout out to my good friend Ed Reed, who's now the head coach at Methuen-Cookman. So congratulations to him. And I wish him nothing but success. He's a good friend of mine.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, back on Monday morning at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
We out.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.